All right, now, before we get started and before you ask, I've had a few people comment on it, so I'll just go ahead and say, yes, I decided to go subtle for Mother's Day, all right, to tone it down a little bit. There's a history behind this shirt. The last time I preached in this shirt, the cops came and shut us down. So just know that. Just be ready. Be prepared. All right. All right, we're going to pick up today where we ended last week. Where we started last week, talking about cell phones. Cell phones are kind of going to be a metaphor for us, a theme throughout the entire series. Last week, we talked about cell phones. We talked about dropped calls. All right, we've all experienced them. You're in the middle of a conversation, and you have that sick feeling in your stomach because you realize you've been talking to yourself for like 5 minutes. And so you hang up and call back. Well, there is yet another problem with cell phones that I was going to have to make up a story about, and then one actually happened to me last night. My wife's out of town. She's traveling. And she's hopefully going to make it here at some point today. But she called last night, and I didn't have a dropped call. I had a chopped call, where you hear like every third or fourth word. You know, she's trying to tell me about the boys and about their day. And, she's talking. I'm like, baby, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? And so she'd say it again. I hear like every third or fourth word. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again? You know, we've all experienced that, right? The chopped calls. I almost wish we could just drop the call. You know, that's almost better than these chopped calls. And I don't know why we accept it with cell phones. You know, we do. We decided it's okay. I don't know why. But what if I preached that way? I was thinking about that. All right. What if I preached with a chopped call? You know, I'd be up here and I'd be telling you guys, you know, I was thinking about this today. You know, I just want you guys to know that the volunteers in Camp Kids Spring are killing it with the kids, okay? They're killing it with the kids. Now, if we had the chopped call version, I would say, I just want you guys to know, the volunteers are killing the kids. I think we might have a miscommunication there, right? All right. So what do we do when we have the chopped calls, right? We've... It's funny, it's the phone's fault, but we've kind of all decided that it's our fault, you know? So if we could just find the perfect spot in the room, you know, we just kind of chase it. If we could just find the perfect spot, hold on. You know, if we go outside, we're going to get a better connection. Or sometimes what we'll do is we'll actually hang up the phone, call right back, boom, and it's perfect. It's crystal clear. And then we can have a conversation. And each of you do this on a daily or weekly basis without even thinking about it. You know, you don't sit through it and rationalize, well, why am I going to do this? Why am I going to make this phone call? No, you know a very basic truth of communication, all right, especially when it comes to cell phones. You understand that it's all about the connection. You understand that the quality of your connection is going to determine the clarity of your call. You get that. The quality of your connection is going to determine the clarity of your call. Now, with that in mind, let's talk about where we're going to go today, okay? I began the series last week, the series called High Fidelity, with really one basic question. The question was this: can we really hear from God? Can you and I really hear from Him clearly? And my answer last week was, of course, yes. Yes, we can. Yes, you and I can clearly hear from the God of the universe, can have a high-fidelity relationship where we perfectly understand what He's trying to communicate to us. He's not tricky. He's not trying to mess us around. In fact, the entire Bible, all of history, points out to us all the things He has done, all the steps He has taken to be heard by us. God wants to be heard. So I ended last week with the question, if God wants to be heard, and He clearly is trying to communicate with us, and we still can't hear Him, maybe, just maybe, God's not the problem. Maybe it's us. Maybe we need to learn how to hear Him better, how to listen more clearly. So what I did is I gave you a challenge last week to wake up every day this week and ask God one simple question. God, let me hear You today. In some way, let me hear from You. And I'm going to tell you, it's been really fun talking to you because I know many of you took the challenge, and I know many of you have heard God speak to you this week. You've heard Him loud and clear. You've experienced Him in some way. Side note, I'm going to beg you right now. If you've had that experience, please share them with us. And the best way to do that is to email them to us. info@wellspringchurch.tv. It's very simple. Info, information, I-N-F-O, info. Please send them to us because we want to know about them. We want to know what God's doing. So share those with us. Anyway, back to the, that was a side note. So I gave that challenge, and I gave it fully confident that any person in this room that wanted to ask that question would hear from God. Fully confident that there may be people in this room today who still don't even know that they believe in God. They're not sure they think he's real. They certainly don't know what to do with Jesus. But I fully believe if you ask the question this week, God, let me hear from you, that you did hear from him. And I believe it because the Bible tells me that you can. I'm going to read a bunch of verses today, so they're going to be up on the screen. So there's one passage I'm going to try to get you to go with you. This isn't it. Romans 1:20, though. I want to read this to you real quick because it's important to where we're going. This is what the Apostle Paul, Paul's the guy who wrote about half the New Testament. Here's what he says about what I'm talking about, how we can all hear from God. He says this, he says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Right? You've all seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. See, we're really lucky because we live at Myrtle Beach, so we actually get to see the beach and the ocean all the time. See, I have no doubt in my mind that if you sincerely ask God, hey, God, I'm not even sure if you're real, but could you speak to me this week? Could I hear from you this week? And then at any point this week, you spend some time on the beach. You listen to the power of the waves. You marveled at a sunset or a sunrise. You marveled at the beauty of the sky. You looked at the moon or some clouds. Anytime you did that, that sense of awe that you felt, that sense of wonder, that sense of, I don't know if there's a God or not, but I sure feel small and this sure seems large. Well, that was God. That was God trying his best to communicate with you. It says it this way in Psalms 19. It says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. See, creation points to the fact that there is a God. It screams to us, he's real. And it's how I know if any point this week you were taken aback by anything like that, even if you don't believe in God or not, that was God speaking to you. That was God trying to communicate with you. That was God trying to say, hey, I'm real, I'm here, and I love you. All right? I went to seminary, and I'm not trying to impress you, but theologians actually have a word for this. All right? They call it general revelation. Okay? That's what they call it. What it means is basically there's enough information within our day-to-day life for us to know God was real because of nature, because of the fact that most of humanity is built with this thing we call a conscience. We kind of inherently know what's right and what's wrong. We kind of inherently know that you know, it's not the best thing to punch somebody else in the face, right? Right? There are some things like that are just kind of ingrained in us, and all those things were put there by God to point us to God. General revelation. Now, here's the problem with general revelation. If you want to know from God, hey, I think I should take this new job. What do you think about that, God? Or, hey, God, I have a new business opportunity. They want to start a new business with me, and this guy wants to be my partner. Should I trust him? Or, hey, God, I met this new girl, and she seems awesome, but I've been burned before. Should I invest a little more? Or, hey, God, I really think he's about to pop the question, and I'm not sure if I want him to or not. Can you give me some guidance on this? If you really want that, if you really want to hear from God directly and specifically about your life, the Sunset Channel ain't going to cut it. Right? Because it's general. You can stare at a sunset all day, but it's not going to clearly communicate what you need to do day to day in your life. It's not going to work. There's only so much you can do with a sunset. You can be in awe of it. You can be reminded how big God is and how small you are because of it. But it's not going to direct you daily and specifically and what you need to do. What you need in that situation, what we need from God in our relationship with Him, is clarity. We need clarity. We need to be able to hear from Him clearly. So, how do we get that? How do we get past the general to the specific? How do we get past this general knowledge to specific, clear communication from the God of the universe that is perfectly centered and directed on my life and how I should live my life going forward? Well, we learn with the cell phone, right? If we want clarity, then we have to have a good connection. If we want to clearly hear from God, well, then we have to be connected to Him directly. We have to be able to go straight to the source of knowledge and power in the universe. We have to be able to go straight to God. Why is that important? Why is it important that we be connected straight to God? Same as we said at the very beginning. Because the quality of the connection determines the clarity of the call. The quality of the connection determines the clarity of the call. So how do we have a quality connection with the God of the universe? How do we connect directly with Him? Now, the good thing is, this isn't a mystery. Jesus tells us very quickly, John 14:6. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus is the connection to the God of the universe, which makes perfect sense, right? Because if you were here last week, you heard me talk about it. You learned this. God sent Jesus to fix our problem. He sent Jesus to live a perfect, sinless life so that He could take every mistake you and I have ever made and ever will make and put it on His shoulders and blame Him for it and punish Him for it so that He could look at you and I clean and have a relationship with us. See, we learned last week that Jesus came to make it possible for us to have a relationship with God. We knew it made it possible. What I want you to understand today, what I want you to walk out of here getting, is that not only does Jesus make our relationship with God possible, but Jesus participates in the relationship as well. It's through Jesus that we talk directly to God. Now, to best explain this, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to give you some background, okay? I'm going to talk about some things this morning that some of you are going to never believe that I talked about, but it's okay because we're going somewhere. All right, others of you haven't heard of this stuff since maybe if you grew up in Sunday school, maybe you heard about this once or twice. But we're going to actually go back to the Old Testament today. We're going to go back about 4,000 years. We're going to look at this guy named Moses. Okay, for many of you, Moses is most familiar to you because Charlton Heston played him in a movie. There was also a musical made about him. But Moses was the leader of the nation of Israel. God chose him to rescue His people, we learned last week. God spoke to the nation of Israel. That was His first way of telling the world, "I love you. I want to be known by you." Okay? And so what we're about to see is Moses has led his people out of the nation of Israel. He's taken them to the promised land. And God gets this idea. God's like, "You know what? I need to be able to hang out with them. I need to be able to have this direct, clear relationship with them. I need to be able to spend time with them. They need to know where I am and how to seek me." And so what he does is he calls Moses one day and he says, "Hey, Moses, I got something I want you to do." Exodus 25:8 says this, "Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. Have them build me a house so that I can chill there, so that I can hang out, so that people know where I am, so they know how to reach me, so that I'm not this just mysterious thing out there, so that they know where God is at all times, that I can go call Him up and we can figure some things out." And so what He has him build is this thing called the tabernacle. That's a word you've never said before and you'll never say again, but that's what He has him build. He has him build the tabernacle, okay? And the tabernacle looked like this. Put it up there. And we're going to leave this up there for a while. That's not the actual tabernacle, by the way. They didn't have cameras back then. Shocking. But this is what it looked like. They had him build this tabernacle. You can see it's got a fence around it. The box right here at the front, that was an altar. That was where the people could come and offer some sacrifices, things like that. They would come and they would bring sacrifices of offering. They would say, thank you, God, for what you've done. They would come and they would give their tithes. They'd bring back 10% to God. They would come, and this is where they would offer sacrifices for their sins and for their mistakes, because like we talked about last week, sin requires death. And so they would come and they would offer a sacrifice in their place, a substitution for what they had done. And so they would do all that. But do you see this room back here? You see the tent right there with the thing with the curtain? See, there's two rooms in there. The first room is called the holy place. And the second room, because they were super creative, is called the most holy place. All right? They were fancy back then. So, that tent is actually where God hung out. Okay, God didn't hang out outside. He wasn't outside the fence. God hung out in that tent. And really, God hung out in the second part. Because, come on, if he's God, he's going to be in the most holy place, right? I mean, it's like a VIP at a club. You're not hanging out with regulars if you can be in the green room, right? Am I the only person ever been to a club, really? You all just sold me out. That's okay. All right. So, God's back there in the VIP room. He's back there in the most holy place. And this is what would happen. This is what it would look like. Normal Israelites, like me and you, they'd come. All right? They'd come to be their sacrifices. They'd come to be their offerings. They'd be like, all right, man, let's hang out with God. Let's get my God on. Yeah, I want to talk to God. And they'd come in and they'd walk in this area. They'd walk in the tent. And they'd get to that altar. And there'd be a priest there. And they'd be like, all right, man, here's my offerings. How do I talk to God? Where's God at, yo? How do I hook up with God? This is my stuff. Let's go. I want to meet some God. And the priest would say, kind of like a bouncer, this is as far as you go. You don't get to go back there. See, they would have to leave their sacrifices right there at that altar. That's barely like 20% into the tabernacle. That's all they could get in. So they'd have to leave it there. And the priest, who had already gone through rituals of cleansing themselves, would then take their offering, and then they would go into the first room, to the holy place, and there they would interact with God on behalf of the people. Well, that's not very nice. That's not fun. But that's the way it was, because the people were sinners. They had sin. They couldn't be around God. That's the point of the curtains. And the priests, see, they had gone through these specific rituals. They had cleansed themselves. They had done all this stuff. So they were able to go into the holy place and act on behalf of the people. People still couldn't go in. Now, most holy place, where God actually was, the VIP room, the back, the place where it's rocking, one guy, the high priest, the very highest dude, one guy got to go into the most holy place one day a year. One guy, one day a year, was the only time this entire nation ever truly experienced what it felt like to have a direct connection to the God of the universe. One guy, one day a year, would go in, and when he was in there, he would offer sacrifices for the nation. He would ask God to forgive them for the sins that they had committed. And that's how it worked. Now, you and I watch that today, and we hear that, and we see that. And hopefully you understand where I was going there, and you understand what I just said. And you think back, and you think, no, wait a minute, Trey. You spent all last week trying to tell us that this is a God that wants to be heard. And you're telling me that the system he set up that showed that he wants to be heard was a system where one guy one day a year got to talk to him for about 20 minutes. That's the God that wants to be heard. No, that sounds much more familiar with the God I believe that you talk to on Christmas Eve and Easter. I'm down with that. Well, see, here's what we know because we've seen the rest of the story, because we've seen the New Testament. We've read the whole thing. What God was doing in the tabernacle was painting a picture. He was painting a picture of not how it is now, but of how it's going to be. The tabernacle was a preview for what you and I get to experience through Jesus. A preview of the high fidelity relationship offered to the two of us. This is where we're going to open our Bibles. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Hebrews 10. That's where we're going to wrap up today. We're going to be the Hebrews 10. And I want to read you some verses and kind of walk you through how the New Testament viewed this tabernacle and why this is so important for you and I as we seek to have a high-fidelity relationship with God. All right? Verse 1, the old system under the law of Moses, the system we just talked about, the system where most people had to stop at the gate. They couldn't even go into the first tent. All right? They weren't even allowed into the first cool place, much less the second. They were barred. They were out. Okay? Was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. See, that's key. God established this system, this tabernacle system, all right? And people would come and they would offer sacrifices and they'd ask for forgiveness. But the Bible just says, it was okay, but it wasn't good enough. It didn't provide perfect cleansing. It didn't perfectly make my relationship with God right again. Okay, and here's why. Verse 11, skip down to verse 11. Under the old covenant, what we're just talking about, same thing. Covenant just means agreement. Covenant just means situation with God. Under that old agreement, the priest would stand and minister before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. Now see, now we're on to something. Now we know why it didn't work. See, every time you'd go and you'd present your offering to God and you'd give it to the priest and he'd go intercede for you and talk on your behalf, what would happen at that moment is that the God of the universe would look down and say, okay, yeah, good. Everything you've done up to this moment is now forgiven. Now here's the problem. The second they walked out the door and they saw that person at church that they don't like and they thought a bad thought about them, they sinned again. I know you guys never do that. But the second they pulled out on the Grissom Highway, on the Grissom Parkway, and somebody cut them off and they thought a nasty thought in their head, they'd sinned. They were dirty again. The second they stubbed their toe and said, ah, yes, that is a sin, in case you wondered. Whatever you say there, because you're thinking bad thoughts. The second their kids got on their nerves and they yelled at them and they shouldn't have, the second they got in a fight with their wife, the second any of those things happened, which was probably like 5 seconds after they walked out, well, now they had to sacrifice again. Now they were dirty again. The sacrifice they had just made wasn't good enough. They were now dirty. They were unclean. That's why you had to have the tent. That's why you had to have the curtains. Because there was nothing that they themselves could do. There was no sacrifice they could offer that could truly cover all of their sin. It could not happen. So God, who desperately loves us, desperately wants to be with us, had absolutely no choice but to put up barriers between us and Him because He could not be around sin. He had no choice but to create a place that had a holy place and a most holy place. He had no choice because He is God and He is perfect and He is perfectly just, which meant if sin came in contact with Him, the only thing He could do is destroy it. And He didn't want to destroy you. So He had a dilemma. And just like last week, He solves it the same way. Enter Jesus. Verse 12, but our high priest, that's Jesus. Our high priest, but Jesus. Remember, the high priest was the dude who got to one day a year go in and hang out in the most holy place. One day a year he got to go in. One guy, one day a year. This is saying, because remember, tabernacle is a picture of the future. Jesus is that for us. Jesus is our dude. He's our leader. And it says, but our high priest offered himself not a lamb, not a crappy sacrifice, himself as a single sacrifice for sins, good for, listen to this, all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. The old system was a preview, right? It was a preview of what was to come. Those sacrifices didn't work. Jesus came in, offered himself as a sacrifice, Bible says, good for all time. What that means is this. That means the sins I committed last week, Jesus paid for. The sins I committed last year, Jesus paid for. The sins I'm going to commit tomorrow, Jesus paid for. The sins I'm going to commit in 10 years, Jesus paid for. Past, present, and future, the sacrifice has now been adequate. I no longer have to worry about God looking at me and saying, well, you're dirty, man. You got to stay out. You got to stay behind the red rope. You can't get in. No. Through Jesus, through my belief in him, through my faith in him, through my relationship in him, because he paid the price for past, present, and future, when God of the universe looks at me, you know what he sees? He sees clean. He sees perfection. And it's the very same thing he sees when he looks at every one of you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ. He sees us as clean. And here's why that matters. Verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. We can enter in past the fence, past the altar, past the curtain, past the holy place, past the bouncer. It's like, no, dude, I got the VIP pass. I can go in. I can go in directly to the presence of God, of the universe, my Father, and I can talk straight to him because I'm forgiven. No need for somebody else to go in there. No need for the doors. No need for the curtains. I can go in. Verse 20. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Through Jesus Christ, through a relationship with him, we have that direct, clear access to the God of the universe. We can go straight to him. We can ask questions of him. We can hear from him. And we can be transformed by him. We get to personally experience, not through somebody else, not through a priest who's better than us. You and I get to personally experience God's love, peace, mercy, forgiveness, guidance, understanding. We get to have that. That is how a high fidelity relationship starts. When we get past the sunsets, when we get past the mountain ranges and realize if we really want to hear from God, if we really want to know what he has to say to us, we have to go through his son, Jesus. Because, and you know this, the quality of the connection determines the clarity of the call. Every single time. The quality of the connection determines the clarity of the call. You want to hear from God clearly, but you can't because you're not connected to him. You're trying to hear God through the mountains. You're trying to hear God through the oceans. You're trying to hear God through Oprah. That's not how it works. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. If you want to have a high fidelity relationship, one where you clearly hear from God, you have to be connected through his son. Period. End of discussion. You can have as many awe-inducing moments as you want at the Grand Canyon. You can have as many tear-filled moments watching the sunrise over the ocean. And it'll make you feel good. It'll give you that warm, tingly feeling that you like to have. That lets you know, yeah, there's maybe a God out there, sure. But if you ever want clarity, if you ever want direction, you got to go past that. You got to have a quality connection with the God of the universe. And that's only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. Now, once we establish that connection, which is when we give our lives to Christ, there's still a lifelong journey of keeping the line open, keeping it clear. Because remember I said a high fidelity relationship, and that means it's free and clear of noise and distortion. That's where we're going next week. I talked to you about how to do that. But today, all I want to do as we close is I want to ask you, one simple question. I want you to come up with one thing in your mind right now, whether you believe in God or not. Let's just pretend he's real, all right, with me. Even if you don't believe in God, just go with me here. What's one area in your life, one question you have, one piece of direction that you wish you could hear from God? Just one thing. Maybe it, should I take this job? Should I buy this house? Should I move here? Should I trust him? I don't know what it is. But one thing you wish you could clearly hear from God. Now, is the answer to that question worth your stubbornness? Is the answer to that question worth swallowing your pride and saying, okay, maybe this guy's real. Maybe I should stop letting the baggage of my past, the baggage of some experiences I've had where I've let people paint a picture of Jesus that's not real. Maybe I need to stop letting expectations I've put on God that were unfair, misunderstandings that I've brought to the table that I've been blaming him for. Maybe it's time to let those go so that I can get a little clarity in my life. You need it. God designed you to have it. He created you to have a relationship with you where he could clearly speak to you and move through you to transform the world around you. So that's how we're closing today. It's just a simple question. Do you have a quality connection with the God of the universe? And if your answer isn't yes through his son, Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't. And it's why you aren't getting clarity that you're seeking in those issues. But it's an offer that's on the table today. The offer's there if you want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have a connection card there. If you want to talk to somebody on our staff this week about how to do that, just put it on your card. Say, I'm interested in becoming a Christ follower. Seriously, it's the highlight of our week to get to talk to somebody about that. It's the most important thing we do, is helping people understand. If you want to talk to somebody today, find somebody with a High Fidelity shirt on and say, hey, I want to talk to somebody about how to take this step. We'll hook you up with the right person. We will. Because I want you to begin to experience the relationship with God that you were created to experience. And it will never happen without a quality connection. Why? Because as we've said, the quality of the connection determines the clarity of the call. You want to clearly hear from God? You have to have a quality connection to him. And that's through his son, Jesus Christ. Love you guys. The only reason I say this stuff is because God wants it for you. He wants the absolute best for your life. And that's a relationship with him. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just come to you now and I beg your Holy Spirit to fall in this room, to clearly communicate to these people how much you love them, all that you have done for them, and that they would be drawn into a relationship with you. Those of us in the room that have a relationship with you, Father, may that relationship be strengthened. May we be reminded how crucial it is to maintain our quality connection with you so that we can hear the clarity of your Father's voice. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I ask your blessings on every person in this room. It's in your name we pray.